probably thought of 15 or 20 ways I'd really like to start the lesson this morning. So we got to pick one of them. We don't have time for all of them. So I gave a lesson some time ago about we live our life here on this earth like we're going to live forever here on this earth. We will live forever, but it's going to be eternally. And there's going to be two choices that we're going to have in eternity. And this morning I want this lesson to be an encouragement to each of us to travel that road that we have left in this life, to stay faithful to God. And the thing that kind of prompted me to get this lesson put together was, I don't know how many of you observe these crosses alongside the highways, and I observe most of them when I drive by them, and I do a lot of driving around. These crosses are put there because somebody's life was taken, or some people's life were taken. And each time I see those crosses, it crosses my mind that somebody gave their life, and somebody else cared enough to put that cross there and usually maintain that cross. And we're going to talk about them later in the lesson. I have a very close neighbor, and I was thinking about Don mentioned to me, as well as another friend, about a friend of theirs that went to the mailbox and he didn't make it back. Think about that. What did that individual have in mind before he took that journey to the mailbox or the paper box? What was his thoughts? What was he going to do with his life in the near future? But a couple weeks ago, I always go over and visit with my close neighbor, and we usually have a nice visit. And 2 weeks ago, my neighbor passed away, and he was 61 years old. I'm 76. Why did he die at 61, and I'm still living at 76? We don't know that, but we know that God wants us to put our life in order, so when that day comes, we're going to spend eternity in heaven with those of like precious faith. But the reason I mentioned about what Don said and my friend, they were a lot closer to that individual, so it meant a lot more to them. But I was very close to this individual, and it means a lot to me. It was a total shock to me when we got that call the next morning after my neighbor had passed away. And it'll be a shock to me for some time as I look across the street and think about all the nice visits and the things that he did for me. He worked on a lot of stuff at my house. I couldn't even start to mention all the stuff that my neighbor has fixed for me and taken care of for me. We have no idea of how much time we have. We might have a day, we might have 20 years left. It's hard to tell. We don't know. But we have a guidebook here, the Bible, that tells us how God wants us to live faithfully and for Him. And then we're going to enjoy that eternity where there's going to be no sorrow, no weeping, no separations again. All the good things go on and on. Or we're going to spend eternity in hell, or the fire's never quenched, or there's gnashing of teeth. All the cruel, mean things. And I think people like to think that that's not going to happen because we have a God of love. The Bible says there is a hell, and there's going to be people condemned to hell, and they're going to live eternity there. But as we start through another day or whatever God has given us, what are we thinking about? What are we planning? As we look back on the past, our past life, what do we see? We see a lot of celebrations, a lot of sharing with our friends and relatives. Maybe we've obtained a new home. Maybe we've obtained many things that's made our life easier on this earth. But as we look back, we can't stay focused on the negative things in our life. We need to let them help inform us to live differently and maybe change things or to continue to enjoy one another's company. We must face reality. We must realize that we don't know how long our time is. The Bible is the best source of wisdom on how to navigate through life. God has given us the Bible, and it tells us, as Mike says, what God wants from us. And we need to stay focused on that. We need to read that Bible daily. We need to practice the things that it says in the Bible. As we look around us, we can see God's fingerprints on everything. We can see His fingerprints on other continents. And I think we can take great hope and anticipation that God is truly a living God. Second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul wrote, "You must understand this, that in the last days distressing times will come." 2 Timothy 3:1. Paul makes it very plain here, and he warns strongly, and he wants us to understand that there will be distressing times in our life. Just because we're Christians, we're not going to live a joyful life all the time. But we're going to live more joyfully and happily if we are Christians. One of the most common responses that I'm sure you hear, as well as I hear, is when people, and Christians included, read or hear or talk about worldly events, and they say, "I don't understand. I don't understand why this is happening. I don't understand what caused this." Many things we don't understand. But as we continue to feel the days ahead, we need to think about and include time for our family and for church and for work and for all the events that we need to face. And we need to provide time for ministry opportunities that will serve other Christians and the church of our Lord and Savior. I'm sure you all heard people say that they don't need to go to church to be saved. How do you think the Word of God is going to continue if we don't fulfill His commandment and continue the church to spread that truth and guide and direct people? We need to get involved in the church events as much as time will allow. And we need to volunteer some time to help the church with whatever talent we have. This is God's ministry, and much is happening within our church community. We have a big plan for a 2-week study, and we need a lot of workers. And God needs a lot of workers to fulfill our obligation in putting that 2-week study on. The only possible way God's church and His ministry can survive and have any hope for the future is to have each of us doing all that we can do for His church. The biggest thing I hear is, "I can't do that. I just can't do that. I know God wants me to do that, but I can't do that. The Holy Spirit will help you do that. Each of us felt like we couldn't do a lot of things, but the more you do, the more you let God and the Holy Spirit work in your life, you can do that. You can do that. We need to each do all that we can to help God's ministry and His church continue, and to be strong and to be supportive to the sinful world that needs to hear that truth. Every new day brings new hope to all of us. And as we determine to change something or other in our lives, maybe we choose to lose weight. Maybe we choose to begin exercising. Maybe we choose to eat more good food for us. Quit eating all the bad food, the fattening foods. Maybe it's read the Bible more, volunteer in ways that can help people. You fill in your own options. Just know this, that we need to keep God in our life and we're fulfilling our obligations no matter what they are. Then when we think about new hope, a new day that God has given us, we need to think about, maybe we're thinking about a new job, or maybe we're thinking about keeping a job, maybe we're thinking about better health, or maybe we're praying just to keep the health that we have. For all of our concerns, we need to be truly involved. We need to be worried about our country, and we need to be worried about our government and our leadership. And the list goes on. No other time in history has every continent and country been so linked as we are today. It's just almost within hours that we can be almost any place that we want to be. There's hardly anywhere that we can hide in this earth or in this life. And when you think about that, the more I think about it, and the more that's on my mind, each day, as Christians, this is not our world. We don't need to worry about this world so much that we forget about heaven and the joy of having God in our life. Because we've changed allegiance when we have been baptized and accepted by Jesus Christ into His church. We've changed our allegiance to another God, and our citizenship is in another realm. This is not our home eternally. This is our home temporary, and we need to remember that. Apostle Paul reminds us that we are aliens and strangers in this world, 1 Peter 2:11. This signifies that we are serving and giving allegiance to another ruler and not to this world. If this is so, then how must we live? Soon it will be of utmost importance to declare the same words Peter and John spoke with great confidence to the Sanhedrin rulers when they were commanded not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus in Acts 4:19-20. It says there, "Judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God, for we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." What do people see in us? What do our friends see in us? What does the world see in us? Hopefully they see a good, God-fearing person. Hopefully they see that we live a little different maybe than some people. Our world is gripped with the love of money. Jesus told his disciples, it is the root of all evil. This can drive every aspect of our life, controlling us to the point of despair and hopelessness. What we place our trust in will indicate the kind of hope that we hold for each day and how we approach another day of life. If you read the paper, there was a man, I think he lived in a $250,000 house in this town, very, very important person in reality, and he lived in a $250,000 home. So to me, that tells me that this man had most of the things that he probably wanted. But he ended up his last days living with a friend because he lost everything he had. Everything he had. And he even ended up taking his own life. That is a sad, sad commentary. A man that has everything, $250,000 house, and he ends up having to live with a friend. There are those who, many of us, who enjoy sports. And when we look at pro football, we know the importance of being aware how much time is left in the game. If the team has played well and they have the game in hand, there's no feeling of desperation. Teams that win have coaches and players who work diligently to know the opposing team's strengths and weaknesses and then plan their strategy accordingly. If they execute their plan as a team and they are ahead, there's no desperation on their part. When the final seconds are ticking away, they don't have to worry about it because they have that game in hand. They are in control and they know that they're going to win that game. But you know what? A sports team has no assurance of that victory until that whistle blows. We already know who wins the game of life. There's no desperation in the game plan Jesus has established, and that gives us great hope and assurance of victory. We are in the game of life to make disciples who will be followers of Jesus Christ for the hope that is within us. So as we look at the game of life versus a sports game, we have assurance who's going to win. They have no assurance until the game is over. Getting back to the crosses alongside the road, I'm sure if you do much driving around, you see at least one a day or maybe a group. And again, these mark the places where these people have lost their life. And as I observe these while I'm driving, I often ask myself, what were that person's plans a half hour before that happened? A day maybe, or a week before the tragic moment. I think about it every day of my life, how many miles I have driven in a vehicle, and been very fortunate. And for some reason, I feel like I'm going to die in a vehicle. But that hasn't happened yet. And I hope it doesn't happen. But for some reason, I just get that feeling. The many miles that I've traveled and the distance I've went and seen accident after accident and seen these crosses along the road and things that mark for other people. I thought about this with my neighbor. He probably visited 2 or 3 days before that. What was his plans? Pretty much self-centered. He had about everything you could want. It is said that two things are guaranteed in life, death and taxes. Unfortunately, most people have the idea that they have plenty of time to decide what to do with Jesus. And I know there's a fear when we haven't accepted Christ yet to walk down this aisle and confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's all He wants you to do, and be baptized. It's not that difficult, but it is in your mind. Most of us, before we committed to Christ, said that I will commit my life sometime later. Again, for those alongside the road, for people like my neighbor, and people that have no warning, later may never have come. Later might not have given them that opportunity. We read in 2 Corinthians 6 and 2, at the acceptable time I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. As we've all heard many times, why put off until tomorrow what you can do today? Why wait any longer if you're thinking about accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior? Follow the words of that verse. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Make today that day you commit your life to Christ. We sing a song. Just as I am. And again, many of us felt like, I know I felt like, I was not going to accept Jesus Christ till I truly wanted to live my life for Him. I wasn't going to come and accept Jesus Christ and live like some of the people that I was around that truly thought and believed and confessed that they was Christians. I wasn't going to come and be a Sunday morning church person and then live worldly the rest of the week. But this song says, just as I am. Maybe you feel you need to change your life before you can come to Christ. But Christ will take you just as you are, and He will convert you and change your life. Why is it important to come to Christ today just as you are? The Bible makes it very clear that following death, we are going to face judgment. Only those who have repented and made Jesus Christ their Savior will receive that eternal life in heaven. So this morning, we're going to give you that opportunity. And we're going to beg you and plead with you that if you are truly contemplating accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior, please do that this morning as we stand and sing our closing hymn.